Okay, you gotta be ready. Here she goes.
This is bpnradio.com, and you're listening to Marketplace Saturday, where business leaders go to grow. Marketplace Saturday is designed for the entrepreneur, employee, or student that's looking to grow, learn, and become more today than they were yesterday. Now, here's your host for Marketplace Saturday, Rick Gentry.
Hello, it's Rick Gentry from Austin, Texas. Welcome to Marketplace Saturday, where people go to grow. We're excited today. We have an incredible special guest, Cash Matthews. He's with us today, and he's got some incredible teaching principles that's going to really help you today. So please listen carefully. I would like to introduce Cash. He grew up in Oklahoma, one of my favorite states in America. And Cash, he is the founder of Money University and the Solomon Group. Cash has been very successful for over 30 years, helping people get out of debt, saving folks money on their taxes, and setting up retirement accounts for the young and the older person. Cash is also the author of several books, including Money University. He helps teach people all over the world. He's had over 1,000 downloads at a time, 100,000 total. And Cash, it's just great to have you today. I know that I was with Cash last night, listened to one of his teachings, and it was 2 hours, and it was captivating. And everybody that knows me, sitting somewhere for 2 hours and listening to something, it would normally be pretty difficult, but Cash, just an amazing teaching last night. So he's going to kind of touch base on some things today that I know is going to help you. Cash, welcome, sir.
Rick, thank you for having me here, and I appreciated you coming last night. And it's always an honor to share with like-minded people. And being in an environment where you're helping other people grow, that's been the creed of my company since we began, was to honor God and help people. And not just rich people or poor people or, you know, of a particular belief, but we're just really here to serve all people. And one of the things I learned very early in my life was that we all suffer sometimes in the financial world. It's a very, very common thing. It seems to be one of the biggest obstacles in entrepreneurship and business. In fact, if you think about it, a great deal of what we argue about on the internet really has some financial base. And in my own life, growing up, I'm the son of a man who became a railroad guy but got his start in the grocery business, worked for Thurman's Cash and Carry grocery store as a sack boy, and consequently named his two children Cash and Carry. And so with my name, it sort of predisposed me to being in the financial business. But I got my start at age 20, and really I just wanted to have a better life. And, you know, Rick, something I really believe, with all of the political turmoil, ultimately, there are a lot of great people in this country. We all really want the same thing, and some of us just know how to get it differently. And I was very fortunate to train with some people early in the game that really shared with me principles that I believe are biblical about sharing and giving and saving and debt. And, you know, I just turned that into a business. And then we wrote Money University on the idea that we really wanted to reach as many people as possible, but we want to reach everybody. And our industry, the financial industry, and I hold it in high regard, but too many people are priced out of it. They don't have enough money, you know, or at least in their brain, to go out and work with a high quality, you know, well-educated advisor. And, you know, so our goal really was just to have a platform where we could talk to and reach anybody that wanted to, you know, get a little help, wanted to, as you say, make progress. And so those were the beginnings of Money University. And I'm thrilled just to share it. This is my 36th year. I'm 56 years old now. And I've just been telling the same story 36 years in a row. And you got to hear, we condensed it from 5-week courses down to 2 hours last night. And I'm very glad you had a good time. And if it's, you know, hopefully here in 30 minutes. I don't think we can share it all in 30 minutes. I can talk fast, but I don't know that we would get all that in.
Well, Cash, I'm just going to turn you loose because I think what you have to say is awesome, so I don't really need to say anything else. I know that, again, last night was great with some life-changing principles. So just kind of give some people some overview, some information that will help them today, please. Thank you.
Well, first, Rick, thank you, and thank you so much for allowing me to share this. You know, God has blessed you in a great way to do what you do and has blessed all of us just that we live here in this great country, in this great environment. And, you know, the first thing I want to say, if it comes to money, entrepreneurship, whatever it is that is on your list, I want to be an encourager to you. God doesn't build any junk. You are here on purpose, and when you really, you know, acknowledge that purpose, man, some great things can happen. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is to consider it pure joy when you face trials, for it serves to make you stronger. And there are some people listening that probably have built up some muscle in business and life and family. And I do want to speak to that. And these principles that I'll share, and I'll do it as quickly as I can. And if you see an opening to jump in where you might want to ask a question, please do. But the principles that I have learned, I really noticed. I didn't learn them from a book, but over the course of 3.5 decades working with very, very wealthy people, very successful people, and then some less successful people who made some wrong turns. So these principles were really just witnessed. And over the course of my time in the business, I really identified 5 principles that were key in building a business, a family, a financial life. And I'll focus just on the financial side today. But I think you'll see carryover. You know, we're called to have a great vision. Where there is no vision, the people perished. And I think the very first step to anything good is that you have a clear vision of what you want. You wouldn't go into a restaurant and just say, hey, I'll have some food. You know, you order from a menu, and life has a great menu, whether it's a great job or a great career or entrepreneurship or working in charity. You can literally order what you want and work towards a great goal. Step number one in every great successful family that I've worked with or a great business that I've worked with, they always had a great vision. They had an expectation of how their life would turn out, and they wouldn't settle for less. And I admired that. It took me a while to learn that. Early when I started, I was 20. My only goal then was just to live indoors. And so, you know, something beyond survival is this thing that we call success. And so step one for me was always to have just a vision very clearly. What do you want? And when we work with people, it's the hardest question to answer. And I like that. I think we should all spend some time and go, really, you know, man, life is a vapor. It's a moment. What do you want to do while you're here? So step one is to have a great vision. In the financial world, the second step I learned was to make sure that you prevent irreversible mistakes. You know, we've worked some in the insurance world, and we've worked with great estate planning attorneys and all of these things, but I was shocked to learn that approximately 70% of the adults in this country don't have or have not put together an active, what we call will kit. The final expense planning type thing, or final preparation planning. And I got to see that go both ways, some people who had prepared well and some people who hadn't. Many people remember the Terry Schiavo case, I believe, from somewhere around Indiana, and the great court case. She didn't have a will, was technically brain dead, but they weren't sure, so they kept her on life support for 15 years at the cost of millions and millions of dollars, and only to find out she had been dead the entire time, and just a very simple written document would have prevented all of that tragedy. That was a tragedy that endured for almost 15 years. And so, you know, we talk to people, prevent irreversible mistakes, control those things you can control, your will. You know, Rick, it's the last love letter you get to write your family, and you should author that long before. And we don't like talking about death. But as we mentioned last night, the death rate in America still is hovering, you know, right at about 100%. And so for a guy like me that worries about it, I've got kids and a wife and a family, and, you know, we don't like talking about death. But if we talk about it in advance and settle some of the pressing issues, that we don't actually have to talk about it anymore. We put those things in place. So, you know, step number two is to prevent irreversible mistakes, getting the right will, taking care of the life insurance need of your family. You know, life insurance is one of those things that, you know, if you're a life insurance guy, people cross the street to avoid talking to you sometimes. But, you know, it's a tremendous value for some people to have the right amount of life insurance. And, you know, I always ask people, hey, look, if you don't make it home tonight, are there enough assets for your spouse and children to continue on with step number one, which is the vision? And so we always viewed life insurance really as dream fulfillment. If something happened prematurely, we have these dreams and goals and plans, and, you know, we've committed them to the Lord. But if the plan doesn't work out, how do I take care of this child, these children, or maybe how do I accomplish this charitable goal for my church? How do, you know, I've always had I want to give my church $1 million or whatever. Well, you know, what happens if you don't make it home tomorrow? Well, wouldn't it be nice to have a life insurance policy in place? So we deal some in the insurance world. I just had a rule of thumb that if you had 20 times your income in life insurance, that your spouse would be able to put that money away somewhere and draw it down at about 5% a year. So if you make $50,000 a year, 20 times that's $1 million. So if we could give your spouse a tax-free check for $1 million, then they could go invest it, you know, conservatively somewhere, take out maybe 4 or 5% a year, and replace your income with life insurance. And I, you know, I'm not sure, you know, don't really love talking about life insurance. It's just got this ultimate ending to it that's not ever pleasant. But the cases in my life, and you know, I've helped pay out death claims for countless number of families, and been able to see the fulfillment of step one, which was the goal, fulfilled by step two, preventing irreversible mistakes. And a well-planned estate just takes about a little bit of work. And so my encouragement is, you know, let's deal with the ugly now so we can focus on the pretty, you know, the rest of our life. So step number two was preventing irreversible mistakes. And to take that a little bit deeper, people make financial mistakes all the time. You know, we don't run a tax company, but taxes are certainly an important, very, very relevant part of your life. And I'd categorize those under the irreversible mistakes part. And a big part of what I do as an advisor is really, a lot of people think it's about investing, and that may be part of it, but it's really about behavior. I'm more of a behavioralist with the money stuff. For example, this will be shocking to people. And I'll just put it in a story form. Maybe, you know, guys, what if you go home and maybe your wife is the one that pays the bills, and she comes to you one day and says, hey, Rick, you know, I've been paying the bills here, and just for grins, because I'm really worried about getting the electricity shut off, I've been overpaying the electric bill $260 a month for the last 35 years. And they'll give it back to me if I ask. Well, if that were the case, certainly you would have an interesting conversation to follow. Why would you overpay a bill that is not due? And when you think about it in those terms, we can now go apply that same thinking to the income tax world. And if you, IRS.gov is an amazing website, and a lot, you can find a lot there, and I've researched it now as long as I've been on the web. And last year, actually 2016, the last year we have numbers for, 54 million households filed a tax return, 48 million of them voluntarily, for no reason, overpaid their income taxes an average of $3,100 a year per family.
Wow.
Yeah, is that unbelievable? And it's habitual, and they're overpaying a bill that isn't due. In my brain, in my pea-sized brain, I'm from Oklahoma, I have limited capacity, that's an irreversible mistake. To take an asset, not put it into saving or investing or paying off debt or tithing or whatever your goals are, but to just lend the government $3,100 a year, and for most of the people I work with, for most, it's a habit. And as we go out in life, we don't really have great financial education. And that's what I mean Money University to be, is more of a wake-up call without a snooze button. You know, let's wake people up to how money actually works. And this idea of the massive amount of people overpaying their taxes, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And so I shake people a little bit in a friendly way. It's no coincidence that 3 out of 4 people retire struggling. It's no coincidence that 3 out of 4 people use debt as the funding mechanism for the gaps in their life. And we get out, you know, the average 54-year-old man has about $30,000 or $40,000 saved up and about $20,000 worth of miscellaneous non-mortgage-based debt. And, man, I just believe that the misuse of the tax system is closely correlated to the misuse of the credit card system. People run out of money. They have emergencies. And so that's the second point that I wanted to make is, you know, there are some mistakes that we make. And I think we make them habitually. I think we make them generationally. And I see it in family after family. And I love it when they say, man, where were you 20 years ago? And I always say, well, I was calling you on the phone, but you hung up on me.
Right.
So anyway, I just want to reach people.
Well, Cash, man, this has already been incredible, and I don't want to waste a second because I know you have plenty more to say. But maybe give folks that are listening your website, phone number, all that good stuff.
Love for people to check in with me. Our website for the Solomon Group is Solomon Way, S-O-L-O-M-O-N-W-A-Y, Solomon like King Solomon, SolomonWay.com. You can reach our office anytime at 512-522-4849 and just hit 0, and one of our great people will pick up the phone and love to talk to you live. And easy to get a hold of. Money University, our book, can be found on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of the outlets. And, of course, we do Facebook, and so we have a Facebook site. The Solomon Group Financial Services is our actual legal title, and Money University, the book, is on Facebook as well.
All right, Cash, let's continue.
All right, so we're moving through the 5 steps, and time permitting, we'll get through all 5 of these. But step 1 is to have a great vision. Step 2 is to prevent the mistakes. Step 3 was a curiosity to me because as an investment guy, you go out in the world, and the investment world wants you to invest money. And I've been one of the few holdouts. I don't think that's the great first step. I think the great first step is to have an emergency fund, to put some money away. Up in Oklahoma, where I'm from, we call it save a large gob of cash. And so we put it in the book that way. And, you know, we just like to talk to people like people talk. And I think it's important to have a bucket of cash somewhere. Literal cash, you know, maybe in your house for an immediate emergency, money in the bank. And everybody's number is different, Rick. It's not all the same. I've met people who like having, you know, 2 months of income. I've met people that like having 3 years of income accessible. And the reason step 3 is vital, it's vital because we have emergencies in life. There are things that we have to deal with that we don't see coming. Flat tire, a divorce, a disease, loss of a job. And you want to make sure that, and I don't mean this to promote myself, but cash is king. And, you know, just having money nearby, you know, so that we don't have to depend on credit. And certainly the proper use of credit is fine if you're paying it off at the end of the month and you're getting air miles. And I love all that stuff. But I'm talking about the abuse of credit where credit begins to build. Step 3, to me, is the number one thing in the world that we have to focus on to avoid the debt trap. And I'll go on from step number 3. Step 3 is save a large gob of cash. And if we have time, I'll talk about a couple things people can do to accumulate some money, you know, part-time jobs, selling stuff, lowering their tax bill, etc. I do want to talk about investing just a little bit. I'm registered as a registered investment advisory, the Solomon Group Financial Services. I'm a licensed investment advisor representative, and we operate on the fiduciary standard. We can't take a commission for investment advice. So we operate with the client's best interest at heart. But investing is an interesting deal. A lot of the people that bring investing to me or they have a question about it, they're really, most of them are playing catch up. Hey, I'm 50. I don't have enough saved. What's a great investment? And, you know, I always tell them a time machine, you know, if you don't have a lot of money saved. But, you know, investing, we have to be careful with it. You know, markets go up and markets go down. And so just being careful in the investing world. And I'm not going to give investment advice over the radio, but I will tell you, getting started now is the most important thing. You know, just as a point of reference, and you heard me say this last night probably, but I don't know if anybody in your radio world knows what today is, but today's a very special anniversary. Today is the five-year anniversary of exactly 5 years ago. And I would tell you to plant seeds today that will grow you crops tomorrow. So what are you harvesting today that you planted 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? So saving a large gob of cash and investing are very important. And we do this, you know, I always worry about being offensive because I don't have an inner dialogue, but I'll go ahead and do this, and your readers or your listeners can do this right where they sit. They don't have to have a special computer or calculator, but I want to administer the vomit test, if that's okay. And the vomit test is this. Take the number of years you've been working. So if your average listener's been working, say, 30 years, then we're going to multiply that by your average family income. And I don't know what the average family income in Austin right now, it's about $70,000 a year. So we just take 30 years times 70,000. That's $2.1 million that has gone through your checkbook. Here's the vomit test. How much of that money do you have left? And most people go, man, that just makes me want to vomit. And I hope that's not offensive to you, but I do hope that it is a wake-up call. Most people don't even have 1% or 2% left. And, you know, I get these questions, well, how much should I invest? Well, all of it. Well, I can't afford to do that. Well, how about 1%, 2%? You know, the old standard of 10% really works if you're 25 or 35, but if you're late in the game, you have to save more. And, you know, the comments I get, and I want to frame those in a way people can absorb them. Gosh, Cash, you're telling me I should save 20%? I am. And if you want to figure out what that feels like to retire, here's the question. If you can't live on 80% of your money right now, how will you live on 30% of your money sometime later? So all of your listeners could do a practice Social Security run. Here's what we're going to do, everybody. Next month, the average social check in America, Social Security, is $1,320. If you're married, next month, live on $2,640. Just see how that goes. That's what retirement is like for 3 out of 4 people in this country. So, yeah, it might be a little difficult to live on 80% of your money, but man, let me tell you, it'll be a whole lot more difficult to live on 30. So that's why we have to wake up. This is a wake-up call. And we do another test. I won't give you the name of it because I don't want to offend anybody. I want to lift everybody up. But just imagine how much money right now, today, you have a portion that you have made a priority that you spend on cell phone, internet, and cable TV. I found the average family I talk to spends about $400 a month on those items. Man, they're not spending anything like that on themselves. So, you know, if I could just get people to take a look inside and go, wow, that's really kind of harsh, you know, but you're right. How do I cross that bridge? And some of that may be debt management or mortgage management. And I love those conversations. So step number 4 is to invest. And sometimes that takes a recognition, you know, hey, I actually do have the money. There was a homeless guy we saw the other day and I gave him some money and, you know, I was being super holy. And so I said, hey, don't spend this on alcohol. And he goes, oh, I've got money for alcohol. And
right.
Okay. So it's not crazy that we don't have money. We just haven't made it a priority. And, you know, at some point, here's what I found out for most people. It becomes a priority. But these are not priorities that you want forced upon you by life. Voluntarily, man, they work a whole lot better. So step 4 is investing. Then step number 5, and this is where some of the other Christian financial advisors may differ from me, but that's where we get out of debt. And I believe that's the last step. A lot of other advisors say you got to wage a war on debt, and I disagree with that. Rick, I think we have to wage a war on the cause of debt, and the reason good people go into bad debt is very simple. They didn't save a large gob of cash. They had an unplanned event, a death, a divorce, they lost a job, something tragic happened, and they weren't prepared for it. Right. But everybody listening knows there are more emergencies coming, and they're just the little speed bumps of life. So, you know, to summarize that, I like to get out of debt last. I've helped hundreds and hundreds of people get out of debt. And the first step to get out of debt is start a savings account. So if you're listening to this, I would challenge you. If you've struggled financially, something that means a great deal to me is when people take a step. And all around the country, people hear the radio and podcasts that we've done or see our website. If tonight you could just take a dollar out of your wallet and put it in a jar and take a picture of it and email it to me, that just does me so good. Cash@SolomonWay is my email. Cash@SolomonWay. Just email me a shot. But when you put that dollar in the jar, it's a life-changing moment. You're not going to spend it on something. This is for your long-term well-being. And I've received pictures from all over the country. I'm just delighted when people take a step. And that's not a big step. Anybody can do it. And if you don't have a dollar, stop by my office. I'll give you one. I just want to encourage people, take a step. Because then they send pictures. Hey, I put a five in there. I've got a deal. Make your bed every day and pay yourself a buck. Man, you'll feel so good about it. What an accomplishment. So that's one of the things that we talk about. You know, there are roadblocks out there in the world. You know, we've discovered four roadblocks, and I'll just abbreviate those very quickly. They are taxes, inflation, the market, and emergencies. And the acronym of TIME, you know, we always say time is on your side, but in that respect, time is against you. And, you know, so people are always worried about taxes. And find a good tax person and do what we call tax planning. Most people do tax preparation. And I want to tell you, Rick, there's a huge difference in tax planning and tax preparation. I am not a CPA, and I don't give tax advice per se, but I will put you in front of the right people that will show you how to, you know, the Supreme Court says that a person has the right to arrange their taxes in such a way so to as pay as few taxes as possible. So we have that right in this country to do tax planning, and very few people do it. And I want to challenge you. Go find somebody you know, like, and trust, and have them review and tell them you want a good tax plan. So those are the five steps, interrupted by the four elements of time: taxes, inflation, the market, and then emergencies. One of the emergencies we got to plan for is long-term care. One out of four people will spend the last 2 years of their life in a facility at a cost of between $5,000 and $10,000. And I'm passionate about that. My mother-in-law went blind overnight, had 10 years of long-term care. And if it were not for my sweet wife just taking care of her every day, I don't know what that would have been like. So, you know, just that's one of the things. With us 80 million baby boomers, we're going to break the system. And I know we're talking about a lot of stuff politically now, but in the next 8 years, that's going to be a topic. And wake up, America. It's coming.
Well, you've been listening to Cash Matthews, and we'd like to have you back, Cash, for part two.
Man, I would love to do that.
Because I know you have a lot in your heart and a lot to say, and I just appreciate your willingness to help people.
Absolutely.
Because we all need a great coach. And so we're about out of time today. This went fast, and it was very, very enriching, and I hope that it helped a lot of people. Cash, if you would, just say a quick prayer for us as we go out. Thank you for listening to Marketplace Saturday. This is Rick Gentry from Austin, Texas.
Rick, thanks you. Thanks for having me today, and God bless all of you. Lord, I pray that the people listening to this show know you and love you and know that you are divine and all good things come from you. Father, I pray for the entrepreneurs and the families that are out there listening to this show, that they might be encouraged, that they might seek you first and all other things second. And Lord, just bless the Gentries for bringing light to a dark community. And bless these people listening today, that your word would be heard around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to another special edition of Marketplace Saturday, being heard throughout the day here on bpnradio.com. Keep listening for another special show here on Marketplace Saturday with your host, Rick Gentry.
This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station with Dale.